Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
Merry Christmas. Just making sure. It's so good to have you. Thank you for being here on Christmas Eve. Really. I always have some admiration for certain types of people. I completely am blown away every time someone comes here and they say, oh, we're just here on vacation. I'm like, man, and you came to church? Yeah, like, I think that's amazing. And then on weekends like this, when there's a million reasons why not to be in God's house and people are there anyway, I just think it's awesome. So just thank you guys so much for being with us this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Before we get into the message today, I want to make a couple of announcements, but before I make some announcements, I want to make an announcement about my announcement. All right? And here's the announcement: that I can't stand announcements. And I'm going to tell you why I can't stand announcements, because when you make an announcement, it really only matters to a couple of people in the group, you know what I mean? And everybody else sort of zones out and just whatever. But I do want to kind of tell you about some things that are coming, and there's a reason that I want to do it today. Because today I understand that there are people who will only come to church on a day like this. They will only come on certain weekends or certain holidays. And I honestly want to appeal to you. I really do. And I want to let you know that my heart's desire, my hope is that when you come to Church on the Rock, that it exceeds your expectation. I hope that when you come here, you expected some traditional little service and religious thing, and then you come here and you actually have an experience with a living God who loves you and cares about you, and you encounter people that are authentic and real and genuine, and I just hope that it exceeds your expectation. And what I want you to know, just from the pastor of the church to you, is that that our heart's desire really is to just go on a journey in pursuit of the heart of God. Like, none of us here think we have it all together, or that we know all the answers, or that we're better than anybody else. Like, we all live real, true lives in a real world with bills and kids that misbehave and problems that go wrong. And we get it. And my heart's desire is that we would just be a group of people that just chase after God's heart and help each other to do the same thing. So I want to just kind of tell you a couple of things about what's coming, because I would like to appeal to you, honestly. And I would love to ask you to give us a chance. Just give us a chance and come to some things and see if what I teach from God's word doesn't actually help you in your real everyday life. Fair enough? All right, so let me just tell you about a couple things that happened. Like 2018, by the way, we're going to do more as a church than we've ever done, ever. And I'm so excited. There's so much coming, so much opportunity for you to connect to great things and be a part of great things. Like, for instance, we're going to do some short-term missions trips in the new year. Hopefully that interests some of you and you say, oh my gosh, yes, count me in. I want to get on a plane and fly to a place, or I want to get in a car and drive to a place or something, and I just want to serve people. Some of you guys are like, just leave me here, Pastor, please. That's fine. Everybody has their call. Man, we're going to be doing missions trips. We're going to be doing 3 small group semesters like we always do, spring, summer, and a fall. And by the way, our spring semester will kick off February the 4th. So I would love for you to, in January, kind of start thinking and praying and looking as we start presenting group opportunities. Would love for you to be a part of that. But just a multiplicity of things. We're going to do a couple guys' nights in the new year just for men. You know what I'm talking about? Just men, where we can get together and kind of growl and grunt and scratch and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Men, I don't know if you can say that in church, but I did. We also have a ladies' weekend planned in the new year just for the ladies to come and spend some time together and just stuff like that. So I really, really, really want to encourage you just to get connected and be a part of what God's doing here. I really think that he wants to serve you and be a major part of your life. In fact, I think he wants to be your life. And I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. But I want to point out a couple of things. I'm going to start in February and work my way back to today. Fair enough? All right, cool. In February, I'm very, very excited because this year will be, or the coming year, will be year number 4 that we've done a marriage series in the month of February. So we talk about relationships and romance and love. We talk about what it looks like to live this married life the way that God would call us to. And whether you are married or not, young in your marriage or been married, I promise you, it will relate to you. It will connect to you. How many of you guys are in this room? You're not married now, but you want to be. Come on, raise your hand. Let them see them. That's right. Hey, look around you. I'm hooking you up right now, all right? I'm giving you opportunities to meet some nice people. I want to talk to you about that. I want to help with that. And what I'm really, really excited about, honestly, is at the end of February, we're going to have that fourth weekend in February, we're actually going to have kind of a finale to the series, and we're going to have a marriage weekend. So Friday night, all day Saturday, and then we're going to finish the things that Sunday morning, that final weekend in February. And I would love for you to be praying about that and considering how you can come and just be invested into. We want to talk about real stuff that happens in real homes, amen, that God has a plan for everything. He has a plan for that. So that's coming February for our soon-to-be married couple. It'll be great. We hope to see you guys there. No pressure or anything. I just called you out in front of everybody, but no big deal. And then I want to encourage you, too, that next month in January, I'm going to be doing a series called Uphill Habits. Uphill Habits. And the new year is a great reason to kind of start fresh. Wouldn't you agree? How many of you guys are resolution people? You got some resolutions planned. I'm going to do some things, right? How many of you guys just hate them? Like, I'm not doing them. Tried them before. They always say, okay, cool. I honestly am more with you. I really am, because I just don't like cliche stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm not doing resolutions because, you know, they don't work and everybody does them, therefore, you know, or whatever. But I want to encourage you to start some habits, because too many people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. They want things to be great. They want something awesome. They want some change, but they don't really implement habits or strategies to see that change. And that's what I want to talk about with you all month long through the month of January. That'll kick off on January the 7th. I had a good friend of mine. He said back in July, speaking of resolutions, and he said this, he said, man, I'm so excited because at the new year, my resolution was to lose 10 pounds. And he said, it's July and I only have 20 pounds to go. I mean, that's corny preacher jokes. All right, so that's February. And then another thing that we always do in February, and I'm only mentioning it, I understand, like I said, some of you guys are interested in at points of this, but one thing that we have made a habit in our church is that we start every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. It will also kick on January the 7th. And I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider how you might offer God your best sacrifice. We never tell you what to fast or how to do it. We simply say, offer God your very best sacrifice. And I want to encourage you to start praying and preparing for that. And can I tell you this, that every year, we've done this for years at Church on the Rock, and every year my flesh hates this. Every year, my body's like, please let me have some steak and some dessert. I need some chocolate, right? Because my body longs for it. It really does. But can I tell you this, that I've never done this. I've never done this. And it is sacrificial. It is difficult for me to do, but I've never done this and not seen God do something very significant in my spirit. Never, never, never. And I just want to say to you, like push the flesh to the side and allow God to do what only God can do in your spirit. And I'm telling you, a fast changed my life. I wouldn't be pastoring this church had I not been challenged to do a 21-day fast years ago. I'm convinced of that. And I would love for God to radically transform your life this year too. So I just want you to start praying about that. All right, last announcement. You ready? I want to talk to you about tonight. Tonight at 5:30, we're going to be doing a one-hour Christmas Eve candlelight service. We're going to have communion together tonight. We're going to light candles and celebrate the light of Jesus coming into this world. And I just want to encourage you, please, please come. I would love to invite you to be a part of this with us to celebrate as a family, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ together, to take communion together. And here's what I want to say. I don't want this to be your night. We just hope it's a part of your night. That's why we've made it 1 hour. We just want to, and we did it kind of early because we get it. Like, we know that people are busy and there's family in town. And I completely understand. So we would love, if you could, just make it a part of your night and then continue to celebrate the rest of the night, you know, any way that you want to. But we would love to have communion with you, love to celebrate the light of Christ together tonight at 5:30. And by the way, it starts at 5:30, which means you actually can come before that. You can actually come before that. Yeah. It's a bunch of church people, right? I call you guys the O5ers. I always greet people and, hey, good morning. It's the O5ers. But hey, the only reason I say that is because when you come in tonight, as soon as we kick off at 5:30, it's going to be very dark in the room. Everybody will be seated. It's a completely unique service to what you would see on a Sunday morning. So I just want to encourage you, please be here. We would so, so love to celebrate with you. Amen. All right, cool. You guys ready to get in God's word this morning? Me too. I think I look funny with the lights that are on, but we have some issues going on. And can you deal with it? If there's a shadow and I don't look as good as I normally do? I'll just play. Oh, gosh. My wife is like, she's going to have notes when I'm done. Don't say that ever again. All right. Well, good morning. Open up your worship guides if you would. I want to get into God's word. I would love for you. You'll see if you're kind of a regular around Church on the Rock that inside that worship guide looks unique to normal. And I did that on purpose. I really did. I know that on a day like today, it is Christmas Eve. You guys are inundated with plans and stuff and busyness, man. There are still presents to wrap, and there's still meals to prepare, and there's people coming, right, and all that stuff. Like, I completely understand. Some of you guys are like, yeah, Pastor, there's still shopping to do. Like, I hope that's not the case, but I get it. I understand how busy it is, so I intentionally wanted to just make today's message notes really easy. I want you to just kick back, relax. I didn't want you to have a bunch of fill-ins this morning, so I'm only going to have one for you. At the end, I'd love you to just write a statement like we have over the last 3 weeks in the series that we've been in. I'm going to have you write a statement. And in the 9 a.m., everybody, I forgot to tell them what that was. So only part of our church will get it. So hopefully I remember here in a few minutes to actually give it to you. Okay, so we'll see. Hey, who knows? We'll see. But I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you in this context because all December long, we've been in a series that we've been calling The Ghost of Christmas Past. And we titled it that way on purpose because what I've recognized is, and what statistics would tell us is, while people are celebrating the season of Christmas and it's joyous and there's white snow and there's lit up houses and Christmas trees and right and all this stuff that comes and it's holly and it's jolly and it's fun, for scores and scores of people, they actually spend this season in a real depressing darkness. And they have these ghosts from their past that seem to just haunt them. And it makes this time of year very, very difficult. In fact, all throughout the month, I've had people coming up to me saying, Pastor, this is really resonating with me because I'm someone who has a lot of darkness in this time of year. There's somebody not with me this year that was with me years ago or whatever, or I have regrets, or there's tension in my family and like I got to go there and eat with them, right? I mean, we understand some of that darkness that is oftentimes presented in this time of year. So with that in mind, as I begin to prepare for today, what I want to celebrate today and talk about today is the light of Christ. You know, that he is light and that he can light up our darkness. And in preparation and study, I just started to kind of look into light a little bit. And there's something in, you would learn this in theology and kind of Bible study techniques. There's something called the law of first mentions. And what that means is that if you want to study a topic and you go into God's word, find the first place in the Bible that subject is mentioned, and the theory is that you'll get the purest teaching of that mention, the law of first mention. So when I looked at light, I actually found it all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. And I think, yeah, okay, good. I wasn't sure. We've been having some issues, so we're working. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says this, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it says, now the earth was formless and empty, and notice this word, that darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I could spend a lot of time talking about that, but the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, hey, let there be light. Go back one slide for me, Rob, like we did this morning. I want you to recognize something, that there was a reason that God said, let there be light, and it's because he recognized darkness. And what I want you to see is that something motivated him to speak light, and it was, in fact, the darkness. This is exactly what I want to talk to you about today, because we all understand like the eerie weirdness of darkness, whether it's emotional or whether it's, I mean, it could even be in the natural. Anybody in here still scared of the dark? Anybody? Anybody brave enough to tell us that you're scared of the dark? Right? Some of you guys are like, I'm not admitting that in front of all these people. Are you kidding me, right? Some of you guys either have kids or you've raised kids or whatever, and you're saying, all right, good night, we love you, we'll see you tomorrow. And then it gets to that terrifying moment where you're about to flip the light switch down, right? And it's like, it's about to turn dark in there. And how many of you guys had to leave a light on for your child? You had the night light in the room, they couldn't sleep without it. And there's just something about that light that makes all the goblins just so afraid that they just stay away. And now everything is safe from that little tiny low wattage nightlight. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I think we all understand it. What I want you to get out of this is that the smallest amount of light can make the biggest difference. Can make the biggest difference. And God recognized that there was this darkness that was hovering over the surface of the deep. And God said this, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And I want to go to another place in the Bible, in the book of John, and I want you to recognize this. This is Jesus talking, and he said this. He said, I have come as a light to shine in the dark world. I want you to recognize again his motivation, that I see the darkness and I recognize what's going on here. And I see that people are walking under the darkness of shame and offense and labels and the things that have, the enemy has just compiled on their lives. I see the darkness of their sin and the fact that they're lost. And he said, I'm coming to be a light and shine in that dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. This is God's hope. This is God's plan. Can I stretch and say, this is the Christmas story? This is it. And I know it doesn't have manger scenes and shepherds and all that kind of stuff, but this is it. This is why we celebrate Christmas, because Jesus came to shine a little light in our darkness. And what I want to kind of clarify and make sure that you understand is that the enemy, Satan, our adversary, as the Bible calls him, he is here to destroy our lives. Like, he is not trying to just give us a bad day or some sniffles or a little hiccup and a hitch in the plan. His actual mission and play is that he would devastate and destroy our lives. And Jesus is saying, hey, I wanna come and I actually wanna rescue you from that devastation. I wanna come and I wanna get you away from that, because I have something that I'm pretty serious about, and that's bringing light to the dark places. And I don't think any of us have to stretch very far in our mental capacity to find the darkness that sometimes remains. Some of us in the corners of our hearts, some of us it's buried deep in some room in our lives. Some of us walk around in it all the time, and darkness is all we can see. And Jesus is saying to you, hey, I came because I want to light it up. A little bit of light, a little bit of light can make the greatest difference. So I want to use a story this morning, if I may. I want to talk to you out of John chapter 8, and this is not in your notes. I'm just going to read it right out of my Bible. This is this incredible story where John chapter 8, the Bible says that at dawn, he appeared again in the temple, he being Jesus. He appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him and sat down, and he was going to teach them. Verse 3, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery." Which, by the way, there's so much already, like in the context of the scripture. Like one, how horribly embarrassing it is that she is brought in front of a group of people in the midst of her sin and in the midst of her shame. And not only that, can I say that she was brought there by church leaders, which is even worse. And heartbreaking. And I would imagine that there may be some people in this room that somewhere in your life or somewhere in your story, it was church people actually that did it to you. It wasn't the world. It wasn't the ones you would expect it from. It was from the church people. It was from the people that you thought you could trust or count on, or that would lead you or protect you and guide you. And can I just say, as somebody who this is my profession, like, I'm sorry if that has happened to you. I'm so sorry that if somewhere in your story along your past that church people have been the one that have damaged you, or church leaders or somebody in a place where you thought it was gonna be safe and okay. Like, can I just tell you how sorry I am that that would happen to you? And this is exactly what is happening to her, that she's being called out in front of all these people that, hey, she was caught in the very act of adultery. And what I've always wondered is, where's the guy? Like, what's up with that? Because as the old saying goes, it takes two to tango, right? So I think there's more of an agenda here that we're not even seeing, because where's he? If they're caught in the act, I mean, is he that fast? I don't know. And they made her stand, the Bible said, before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" The Bible says that they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. And what they were trying to do is they were saying, well, hey, if he tells us to stone her, then he'll be responsible for killing somebody. But if he tells us to let her go, then he's responsible for breaking the law. We got him. Like, we got Jesus. And the story continues. But Jesus bent down, the Bible says, and started to write on the ground with his finger. There's a lot of theories. There's a lot of different teachings on what people believe, that some people believe Jesus may have been actually writing out certain sins in the dirt. Some people believe that he was doodling. I have my own theory. I don't think that any of those are right or wrong. I just have my own theory. I honestly think that Jesus was just squatted down, piddling in the sand, because I think he was completely embarrassed. And I think that he was embarrassed for her. And I think that when Jesus was piddling in that dirt, I think that in his mind, he's thinking, these are spiritual leaders. And this is a real person. And I think that in his mind, he's just embarrassed. Maybe like I feel sometimes even that like I'm associated to this. And they have me, I'm the one in the circle. They want me to be the one that gives the response. And I can just picture Jesus very embarrassed, because I don't think he's thinking about the law of Moses, and I don't think he's thinking about rocks on the ground. I think he's thinking about her. And I think that he's troubled that she would be standing here in front of all these people shamed, which, by the way, is never God's method to change our hearts, ever. And if that stuff's happening to you, something's wrong. And the Bible says that he was doodling with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he stood up and he said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first one to throw a stone. In fact, there's a saying that comes out of this story, like, I can't throw any stones, right? Who am I to throw? It comes right from this Bible story. He says, well, fine. If any of you are without sin, be the first one to throw a stone. And I'll find my place here. And he stoops back down and he begins to doodle on the ground again. And at this, the Bible said, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the oldest ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. And Jesus stood up again and he asked her, where are your accusers now? That's a good question. It puts a worship song inside my mind. Some of you are singing it right now in your head too. But he said, where are your accusers now? Has no one condemned you? And she says, no, sir. And then he says these words, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. There's a couple things that I want to point out to you that I think are very important in the context of this Bible story. And one is this, that in that circle, there was somebody who had no sin that could throw stones, and it was Jesus. There was somebody who had the right to enforce the law and put her to death, and he was the only one still remaining. And when he stood back up and recognized that everybody else was gone, he said, well, where are your accusers now? Well, I guess they've all gone. And he said, well, I'm not going to accuse you either, because that's the grace, mercy, and love of Jesus being displayed right there in front of us all. But then, this is something else that I want to point out. He doesn't say, it's all good, don't worry about it, I'll see you later. He says, I want you to change your life. I want you to go and sin. You've had an encounter with grace. Now I'd like you to go live differently. This is what Jesus does in all of our hearts and in all of our lives. Now, this is the interesting thing. That's verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 8. I want to show you verse number 12. Because in your Bible, it's like this little segment. You know, you read this little story, and then it starts a new segment with a new title and all that stuff. But check out what happens next. Verse 12, just after the story, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, he turns back to the people now. Because remember, there was a multitude there. And he turns back to the people, and he said, I am the light of the world. Interesting, isn't it? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he's talking about himself. Interesting to me that the first thing that he mentions after a story like this is light and darkness. It's like it's the theme of the whole Bible. And what he's saying is, he looked at those people, and what he's saying, you see what I just did in her? I want to do the exact same thing in you. The darkness that's in your life, I want to light it up. If you'll just trust me and follow me, you'll change. If you'll just be a part of what I'm doing, you'll change. You'll be different. You'll walk in the light of life. All of a sudden, you'll experience something you've never experienced before. You'll encounter something you've never encountered before. And the thing that I did for her, I want to do for you, because if anybody has the right to condemn, it's Jesus, but he doesn't do it because it's not his nature. And he said, I'm the light, and I want you to get out of your darkness in the same way that in Genesis 1, darkness motivated the Father, and darkness is motivating Jesus. And what he's saying is, I just want to light your life up. I just want to bring light. and to your darkness. I want to go back to Genesis 1. Can we? It's right there in your notes. Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And here's what I want to say this morning, that I think that there are people in this room that you can experience the light if you'd let them. If you'd let them. I looked up the word let in the Webster's Dictionary because I'm weird like that. And I like to do the hard work for you. Definition number 5, to permit to enter. Don't you just want to amen Merriam-Webster right now? Like, amen, dictionary. Permit to enter the light. Like, let there be light. And there is light. When we let there be light, there are some of you in this room perhaps who you're so wounded, you're so scarred, it's so dark for you that you're boxing the light out. Because you're saying, oh, no, don't expose, don't show. No, I don't know. You don't know my scar. You don't know my story. I'm scared of what the light might reveal. I'm scared of what I might see if you turn the light on. I'm nervous about what might even be exposed. Some of you might even be pushing it back because you said, no, my past was just like that poor lady where the church hurt me. And there's no way that a God could let something like that happen. And some of you have boxed the light out. And what I want to say to you this morning is this. I don't want you to just celebrate Christmas. I want you to experience it. Let there be light. And what I love so much about our Father, the one true living God, is that he's such a gentleman. And he will not push himself into your life. He will not force himself upon you. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, if I'm not mistaken, behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. I knock, and if you would open the door, I would come in. Let there be light. Let there be light. I loved the video that we showed because not only were we looking at John chapter 1 when it says that Jesus was there at the beginning and he was light and that light was life, but as you're watching it, it's dark and there's a horizon. You don't recognize it's a horizon until the light starts to come, right? And then you see the sun coming. You guys remember it was like 14 minutes ago. You got me? Yeah? All right. And this sun is coming up and all of a sudden it just begins to illuminate and it gets brighter and it gets brighter and it gets brighter. And that's what Jesus wants to do in the heart of your life. That's what he wants to do on the inside of you is get brighter and brighter and brighter because a little bit of light makes such a big difference. I'm going to finish with this. Recently, I was walking through the woods with my son. I'm a hunter, and hunters, we have to operate a lot in the dark, right? And if you don't hunt, I don't mean this disrespect. Like, I respect that, right? So I don't mean to give offense. It's just, this is my world, so I use it, all right? And me and my son, we were walking through the woods, and we're trying to be stealth, like army style. You know what I mean? No flashlights. We got this. And we're moving through the woods in the dark. And my son, he's 13, and he asked me, he said, Dad, do you ever get scared in the dark? Which, I mean, you guys know. Like, you know that. Okay. I said, well, the more time I spend in the woods, the less it bothers me. But, yeah, man, sometimes I kind of wonder, like, is there a critter somewhere? Like, something, what is that? You know what I mean? You want to start shouting at dark spots, like, I got bullets over here, I'll shoot you. But as we moved through those woods in the early morning light, in the darkness, and we got up into that tree together and sat there for a long period of time before the sun came up, there's nothing, in my opinion, there's just nothing more beautiful than watching that sunrise in the morning. It's really awesome, actually. It's really cool because as that sun starts to come up, it's like the woods begin to come alive and you get to watch God's creation just start to move. And if you're a hunter in the room, you know, like you're sitting there like, oh man, is that a deer? Is that a deer? Is that a deer? What is that over there? What is? And then all of a sudden, like it gets a little brighter, like, ah, man, it's a palmetto bush. Hate those, right? But the more the light comes up, the more that it exposes what's going on out there. And then you see movement and you see beautiful. And then all of a sudden, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's this amazingly peaceful scene that's going on around you. And it's just refreshing and remarkable. And I only use that picture to say that's what God wants to do in you. That's exactly what he wants to do. That's why I love the fact that this life of faith is a journey. it's not like I just walk in and turn all the lights on and now, man, it's all lit up and I'm good to go. It's like little by little, just some light starts to shine. And as I continue to go toward the heart of God, I see a little clearer and a little clearer and a little, it's just like a horizon where the sun just starting, I'm talking about like the S-O-N sun. You see what I did there? Starts to rise. And all of a sudden there's just more and more light being exposed in your life. And all of a sudden you're seeing things more clearly. And that's it. Like that's the Christmas story. That's what he wants to do in your life. That is what he wants to do in you. So listen, I didn't forget one thing I want you to write down. Just one thing. I want you to write these words, that I will let God's light into my life, into my darkness. I'm gonna let it. I think this is the key word right here. I'm gonna let it. I'm gonna let it happen. Some of you need, you can come, bro, come on. Some of you need to just let some stuff go. And I know that's so hard. And I think that's a pretty audacious statement for somebody to make. But there are some of you that it's true for. You need to let some things go so that you can let the light of God into your life. Some of you, it's like, well, there's nothing I can let go of. I just don't know what to do with it. You need to let it in. Just start saying, God, you said if I'll open the door, that you'll come in. I need light in this scenario. I'm depressed. I'm ashamed. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm behind. I'm whatever the case may. I don't know what the darkness looks like for you, and I would never dare stand here and act like it's not significant or painful or something horrible hasn't gone wrong that's put you in a position where you feel like you're walking in a sense of darkness. But I am here to compel you to let the light of God in. Because this life of faith that we live is exactly that. It's a life of faith. God, I don't understand, but I'll trust you. God, I don't understand what this is all about, but I'm gonna trust you. God, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm gonna trust you. God, this is gonna hurt, but I'm gonna trust you. God, I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to trust you. And the gentleman, the father, the God that we serve, he wants to come in and say, let me shine a little light on this for you. It's gonna be okay. Trust me. Trust me. Because our God is a God who restores and redeems and heals and repairs. In fact, I think God goes beyond repair because the Bible says that he just does away with old stuff and makes stuff new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. A new creation. The old things are gone, and the Bible says, behold, all things, they just become new. That's what God wants to do in your heart this morning. I believe it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across the auditorium. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're here. And you've never surrendered your life to Christ. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're with us. I want to encourage you this morning to make this your day. Make this your day. Say yes today. Let the light. Let there be light. Let it shine on the inside of your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you say to me, yeah, but there was a time, Pastor, that I walked with God. There was a time that I was close to his heart. There was a time I was near him. There was a time. Those days were good days, but I'm a long way from those days now. Can I tell you something? That's okay. Can I tell you something else? You're in good company. I've been there too. Far more times than I would even like to admit, but I've been there too. And what I love so much about the Father is that his mercy is new every single morning. He is not the God of a second chance. He is the God of another chance. It doesn't matter if this is chance number 57 for you or 318. Look, the count doesn't matter. He is a redeeming, forgiving God, full of grace, full of love, who wants to light up the darkness inside of your heart. And if that's you this morning, all I want you to do is choose him today. Faithfully say, I'm gonna let the light shine. I'm gonna let you in, God. I'm going to let you have your way. Maybe you're here today and this is the first time you've ever said that. This is your salvation moment. That's awesome. I congratulate you. Maybe you're here and you say, man, I just got to get back on track. I got to let the light shine in my life. I just got to let them back in. This is your moment. I'm not going to ask if this is the decision you're making. I'm not asking you to stand or raise your hand or anything like that. But I do want you to pray with me. I want to ask you to pray with me. And for your comfort, I'm actually going to ask every single voice, every person in the entire auditorium to just say this prayer with me. Would you say these words? Dear Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want you to let the light shine in the darkest areas of my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Heal me of my issues. Help me with my problems. Give me a new beginning. Shine the light in me today. Make me new in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you stand to your feet and just give God your very, very best?
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.